You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
If God promised me a life of ease, without problems and without trouble, I would believe in Him. Are you sure about that?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Are in God's hands. Let's speak to Him. Our God and our Father, we ask Your blessing upon our lives. We recognize that life has its problems and difficult moments. We know that we are always in Your hands. Keep us from fear and doubts. By the power of Your Spirit, lead us to the firm conviction that Christ has redeemed us and that all of life belongs to Him. Amen. Come with me down the Mississippi. Come with me to the land of dreams. Some people call it New Orleans. My family and I live in one of America's most interesting cities. We live in New Orleans. Like most major cities in our nation and the world, the struggle for progress has destroyed some of its heritage. Once beautiful, magnificent, stately homes and buildings have been demolished and displaced by strips of concrete and steel called interstates and freeways. But there is a group fighting the destruction of the old. It is called preservationists. These people see to it that homes and heritages are maintained. So it is in our city. There is a place that is still quaint, beautiful, attractive, and interesting. To be sure, it has a dual personality. For some, it can be a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. But for the most part, it is not that. It is reminiscent of the beginning of this nation. It has the oldest cathedral of our country facing Jackson Square. I speak of the New Orleans French Quarter. In New Orleans, we find ourselves to be the last port of call on the Mississippi River before it travels through the fertile Delta lands into the Gulf of Mexico. I love this city. I love its people and their customs and traditions. I love living there. One of my favorite spots is the Quarter. You can find me there often, walking its narrow streets with the fascinating shops. In the Quarter, there is a favorite shop of mine, a silversmith. I go there frequently to browse and sometimes to buy. One day, as I approached the shop near the center of the Quarter, I was taken by a sign in the window, crosses, half price. Now, isn't that interesting? If you were in the market for a cross, or if you needed a cross, or you thought one day you would like to have a cross, this would be the day to get one. Crosses were on sale, half price. I wondered why. Perhaps the jeweler had too many of one kind, or his inventory on crosses was too large, or he was going to change the design. Whatever the reason, the crosses were half price. If you were to go into the shop, perhaps you could find one there, made just for you. That's the way it is with crosses made with men's hands. You have a selection from which to choose. Select the one that suits you, the cross that looks best on you. The sign in the window intrigued me. I thought of other ideas concerning crosses half price. Isn't it strange that is what people look for? If I must have a cross, if there is something I must bear, some difficult experience to come my way, if there is something I must suffer, I will look for it half price. Why not get one that way? But does that fit into what Jesus Christ said? He who would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. I don't believe Jesus was talking about that which is half price or easy. He also said, you cannot serve two masters, for you will either hate the one and love the other. We can't serve God and the things of this world. Now then, the idea of following Jesus Christ and the bearing of a cross is not a simple matter. However, don't let the thought of it frighten you. Speak to someone who has followed the Christ, who has taken up his cross. Speak to someone who has endured a problem or a difficulty for the sake of Christ. Ask that person about it, and you will receive a happy and beautiful response. You will be surprised at the complete joy of the individual who says, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided to follow Jesus. The Apostle St. Paul was like that. If anyone had to endure suffering for the sake of the gospel, it was Paul. He endured persecution, shipwreck, imprisonment, and flogging. He remained in the joy of his faith, and he wrote, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Paul asked, who could separate the believer from the love of God? And then he made a list. Could tribulation, or problems, or distress, or heartache, or even death? Nothing, he said, could separate a man from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, his Lord. And that's the way it is. When you are in Christ Jesus, the strong arms of God will hold you. But don't get the idea that once you are in Christ, it is going to be so easy, that life will be simple without any problems. God doesn't make that kind of promise. There might be some particular problem attached to your faith. There might be some kind of situation that God places upon you because you are a Christian. Because you express your faith in Christ, problems can come your way. But the question is, how do you handle them? I have in my acquaintance a young man who wrote a letter to me some years ago that I will never forget. This is what he wrote. I want to share with you what has happened to us during the past year to indicate how much God really loves us. I read on with anticipation to find out what great things happened to him. Then he related the story of how he was shot and rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery with his life hanging in the balance. He came through to write, see how much the Lord loves us. The letter went on with the words, and let me share another blessing. Our second child was born, a beautiful child, but with a deformed arm and missing a hand. Praise God with us. See how much he loves us. Then the letter quoted the scripture, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. God must really love us with abundance to permit us to walk this way, he wrote. This, my friend, is what it means that God will keep you in his power and grace in Jesus Christ. At this point, every Christian must speak for himself. I don't know what that cross might be for you. Let me be clear, however, that it will have to do with your faith. Either a testing of it, or something that will lead you to a clearer and more sure affirmation that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. Whatever it might be, the Scripture tells us to rejoice as we share Christ's suffering. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God rests upon you. I don't know what kind of cross you are going to bear. I know this, however, that God in His mercy and grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ will take care of you. He has lifted already the greatest burden of all. No one can say, I have lived perfectly. No one can say, I have lived my life exactly the way my God and my fellow men would want me to live. No man can say, I have never been a disgrace to my God and those around me or to myself. You see, this is what is common to all men. It actually is man's greatest problem, this matter of living and coming short of what God really expects of us. If we think about it, and if we are honest about it, we will recognize that our lives aren't always right. People who struggle with particular problems like alcohol, for example, must first be willing to admit they have a problem before a change in lifestyle can take place. And it is extremely important that we try to understand each other. Today we hear much about people accepting each other as persons. That means, with all of my shortcomings and all of my hang-ups, you are to accept me, and I am to accept you. And that is usually where the real problem sets in. Our earthiness gets into the way. We can remember moments of rejection, moments that we have experienced when other people turned away from us, and we can't seem to get over the problem of accepting others. I am not saying we are to condone what is offensive to God and man, but I am saying we may not like what someone else does, but we are to accept and love that person. And that, for man, is often a stumbling block. One of the greatest causes of anxiety and depression is unresolved guilt. Whether we are aware of it or not, unless we are certain of acceptance and forgiveness, we harbor within ourselves resentments, which often express themselves in dislike of self and others. And it is a vicious cycle that seems to perpetuate itself. Counselors often give the advice, like yourself. Tell yourself what you are doing is all right. Free yourself from all inhibitions. And for a time, that might work. But when you are alone, to face yourself in those quiet moments, you will know that you haven't even accepted yourself. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. That's where Jesus Christ takes upon himself a cross. And the Scripture says it like this. He takes upon himself the form of a servant and becomes obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In one brief, fleeting moment, he prayed in the garden, "Remove the cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the cross for Christ meant obedience. What man failed to do, what man refused to do, to obey God, and thus to live in disobedience, Jesus Christ has made right. This is where acceptance comes in. Jesus takes our sins upon himself. He doesn't turn away from us. In simple language, let me say, Jesus Christ died for you. Nothing was held back. So he bore the cross. And the Scripture says, for the reason of the joy that was to come to him, he endured it. He saw the joy of the cross. He saw the joy of myriads of people who would come to the Father through him, to stand before the Father redeemed and forgiven. It is this Christ who calls to you and says, follow me. Take up your cross. Don't look for something cheap. For God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. There are some who will say, I would rather not follow him. I would rather go through life unencumbered. I want no problems, to say nothing about having to bear a cross. After saying, follow me, Jesus said, He who seeks to find his life could lose it. But the one who loses his life for my sake will find it. And what he is saying is if you follow him, you will find the rich, full meaning of love and forgiveness and life. I don't know what you might endure for the sake of Christ. I don't know what kind of cross he has in store for you. But I do know the cross won't come at a bargain. It won't be like the cross in the shop in the quaint French Quarter of New Orleans. You won't be able to select the very one you want. You won't get it cheap. It will cost something. There is no easy way. But Christ has taken his cross upon himself. He has made it possible for you to live in his grace and mercy and love. The Son of God will lead you. He says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow him. Keep the cross of Christ foremost in your mind and life. Know that it is not a symbol of death, but of salvation and victory and joy. There is no halfway Christ or halfway cross. It will be Christ all in all for you, and you will be his totally. Amen.